Kutcher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We're Kutcher and Rich. And Rich, we're talking about people overposting on the internet. Here's a photo someone put up. Sleeves.
It's sleeves on the ground. Yeah, that's weird.
That's the next one.
Yeah, that's
sleeves
good.
On the ground.
There's a guy who tweeted and said, I have a friend who posts good morning every morning, and then what he's making for dinner that night. Now you have me questioning why I'm still friends with him. This one I've seen a lot of, and this might be the worst offender of the overposter. Don't forget the other categories of overposters, the people who constantly post news or politics. It's as if we don't watch the news. Like, people will post, like, 7 to 8 articles a day. And you're like, all right, I understand you watch the news. And you're on top of things. I get it. But you know what? Maybe we are, too. We don't use your Facebook page as our own personal CNN or Fox News, in your case.
And the worst is when you're friends with a female that's really, really hot, and they stop putting pictures of themselves up, and they just start putting pictures of stuff in the news.
Yeah.
And you have to sift through all of it, and you're like, come on! Get with a nice photo.
Are you with somebody who's checking in at the place that you're at?
Well, that's the stupidest thing in the world.
I know, checking in is like, just rob my house.
Yeah, checking in is like, rob my house.
Just please, I'm gone, no one's home, rob me! Here's where I am, by the way.
I'm checking into the big boy in Hamtramck.
Yeah, I'm pretty far away. So you have at least, if you Google Maps, you have at least 30 minutes by the fastest car to rob my place.
Right. Yeah, that's where you're sitting, all right. And it's like in traffic. Or people that take pictures. There's like girls that take pictures and they always make the same face in their car. They're like, they stick their lips out in the car, and you're like, ooh, hot. Or they take a picture of, like, a song that's on the radio, and they're like, woo!
I do have a friend that has one face, and you realize it when you click on the picture. I know it's a thing, but the duck lips are real.
Oh,
it's this one friend of mine who every time, and it kind of came on a whim. I was like, hang on, she's making that, that's a weird face. And you click on it, and maybe she doesn't realize it when you just click on her photos that you can see that there's like 90 photos of her making the exact same face.
And what is the deal with like Snapchat and girls putting pictures up of like themselves as bunnies?
Oh, you mean, yeah, where you can do your face with the little filter that's like, yeah, you could turn into an animal.
By the way, the more stuff you put up on social media, the sadder your life seems.
Well, I mean, it is kind of a begging for approval type of situation. You want to be liked. You know, they want people to like your thing. You want people to comment. Sure.
You know, and I don't blame people for this, but like, okay, kindergarten graduation. All right, so yeah, you know.
Well, that's a moment. That's one post.
Right.
You post that day. Yeah.
Right. But I don't need 45 pictures from the classroom at different moments.
If it's all in the same post, whatever. I don't care.
I don't know.
Yeah, one post a day is all you need.
Well, then it ends up manipulating everything. I mean, my stream on Facebook is essentially 5 people. And ironically, 5 people I could care less about.
How do they pick who's at the top of your stream? Is it people who you've clicked on and it realizes whose pages you've checked out?
Zuckerberg does some kind of mind meld where he figures out that these are people you don't like.
That's who he puts at the top.
Yeah, yeah. Ramon, go ahead.
Hey, Stick and Egg Bugs, how's it going?
What's up?
Listen, you know what it really gets to me when you're watching a live game and people keep giving you the broadcasting, like they're a sports caster or something, like, goal or touchdown, oh, did you see that play? I'm like, yeah, I'm watching the same game you are. I don't need to read about it, too.
Yeah.
When you get the idiots that always post, like, oh, I'm feeling so depressed today, and I think I'm going to kill myself, and you ask them a question, they're like, inbox me. I'm like, why are you posting it up if I'm going to inbox you directly?
Yeah, there's people that put posts up that they want you to tug on their heartstrings.
I've been guilty of the touchdown thing or like the, whoa, what a dunk, you know, because there's something about sitting home alone on your couch and you're just craving for that community of being with friends and you're trying to have some way of feeling like you're not a total loser where you'll just like tweet like that so you're actually talking to people via Twitter or whatever. I'm guilty of that. I've done that before and it is a loser move. It's a total loser move, but I've done it. And it's tough to resist sometimes when you're watching a game by yourself, realizing that your Saturday night sucks.
Well, that's also Twitter.
It is. Which, but at least it's somewhat positive. You're something positive you're throwing out
there. Getting a long line of people who are doing stupid crap on Twitter.
Right. Yeah, I'm definitely guilty of that, so I can't talk on that.
Yeah, this is a more of an Instagram, Facebook situation.
Yeah, sporting events are actually all right when you're on Twitter. I don't mind that. I actually don't mind like people commenting and stuff.
Except when you say something and there's an avalanche of people that come back to you. You don't know what you're watching.
That's just
you don't understand. Oh, I see. Well, I wouldn't put it by me. That makes sense.
Yeah, but there's really no reason to say, hey, touchdown.
True.
I mean, there really isn't.
I've tweeted out the word woo before.
All right.
Where there was a big go, woo! As I said, it's a loser move, but you just get caught up in it because you want to have somebody there when you're sitting alone.
Now,
my friend.
Now, what will be the response?
I liked your woo. You know, people like the woo.
That's
woo,
right. People tweet that all the time. Loved your woo, Rich. You're on point there.
They don't even need to. They just got to like it and run away. Just like, I thumbs up, Rich.
I was on the fence.
I'm with you on the woo.
I was on the fence about listening to the show. No, but now that I know you like that event that just happened.
Nothing to do with that. It's just someone be my friend for a moment.
Now, will you find yourself clicking to see if people have liked it?
Sure. Sure. Like, you know, like the next commercial break.
I don't do that.
And like, I'll do it, woo, and then I'll watch it, and then the next commercial break, I'll see, let's see what the response is to the woo.
Everything Rich has done right up until there.
248 likes on the woo.
I have not
At least
done that.
He's being honest.
He is.
Well, I mean, because it's horribly sad. It's a horribly sad thing. I can't call out anyone on that. During sporting events is the one time where if I'm sitting by myself at home, I feel like a total loser. And I want that community, and I do that.
Every Sunday afternoon for me during the football season.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Now
we're all watching a game, you know? I mean, that's it. But you're alone in your living room, not with friends.
And as I said, at least it's something positive I'm throwing out there.
Yeah.
It's you know, there's too much negative garbage out there. So that part of it I do not dwell on.
So I'm so much more likely to put something up on Twitter that gets me fired than to take the chance of just saying woo.
Yes.
Yes. That is
like
probably
the power
true.
Of me saying woo does not trump the fact that I could easily say something on Twitter to
Honestly,
get myself fired.
I've showed a little more restraint as of late because even I've realized that this is kind of pathetic. But it doesn't mean I won't like tweet in capital letters, Jaylen Brown, which is completely lame, but I'll do it and I'll get caught up in it.
Jaylen Brown exists.
Yes, like he's a human being. This is the name of someone on the Celtics who did something neat a second ago. This tweet's going to be nothing in like 45 seconds after I tweet it.
Am I right, guys, or am I right?
Jaylen Brown, am I right?
See, what you got to do is you got to do the lift shots, and you got to go like, listen, my money is on Germany.
Right, right.
Which I heard over the weekend. He was very excited because he had Germany. What? John, go ahead.
Rich used to do the most annoying thing during the Bruins 2011 Stanley Cup run. When Danny Payet, that Merlot line, would do something good.
When he scored. Yippee Paye. Yep. Yippee Paye. Every time he'd score, I'd go, Yippee Paye.
You win.
He only scored like 3 times, but you would do it like 100 times a week.
No, I only did it when he scored. In fairness, it was a dumb tweet, but I only did it when he scored. Don't over-exaggerate something that's already embarrassing. It's embarrassing enough if you just would have said I did. Yes, it's embarrassing as hell. Yes, I've done that, and I fully admit it. I'm getting some tweets. I'm on Team Woo, people are saying. See, the worst part of the problem is admitting that you have one.
So you've gone from...
But it's gone down.
You've gone from... You know, wanting likes from the woo to people liking that you have talked and liked the woo.
But you've tweeted out rafters before.
Yeah, because I want to own that because it gets stolen. That the reason I did that is because I want credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that on Instagram.
I wanted credit for Yippee Paye, but that took off like a
Led Zeppelin.
Right. It was like a fart in church.
I mean, I just want credit in case, like, you know, he retires or something, and then they go, you know, Bergeron, they've always called you rafters. and I can say, look at what I've accomplished.
So he said, Rich, don't apologize for your woos during games. Twitter becomes a giant sports bar where drinks are cheap, you don't have to tip, and nobody's wearing pants. All right, that makes me feel a little bit better. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I really shouldn't. we got Joe Haggerty coming up. But...
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It was painful. I thought it would be, but it was... You're disappointed that you didn't... You're coming out empty-handed tonight. You know, and I've said all along, draft and develop's going to be a lifeline. I still don't regret at the time making a decision and really looking upon where our hockey club was. We really wanted to take a... You know, we've all said that we're in it to win it. And we put ourselves back in a position. I'll never say I will never do it again. I just would like to have a better result, bottom line.
That's Sweeney, by the way, on the decision to trade that pick for Nash and whether he regretted the Nash trade. So as he just sat there and just kind of watched everyone doing work on that first round, they're just like, it was kind of embarrassing and kind of painful to sit there and not be able to do anything.
Because we got a guy who really had no effect whatsoever on the outcome of the postseason.
Yep.
But Joe Haggerty gets to come out and he gets to talk to people for the first time this summer and maybe for the last time this summer. He joins us now.
Well, hopefully not after free agency. That would be nice.
Sorry, maybe something next week.
Yeah. Well, who knows? And I'll be here and you won't. Correct. NBC Boston Sports. Hello.
Way to lay so much importance on this phone call, Fred. This might be the first and last time this summer you talk to Joe Haggerty. So
I might get hit with a bus. I mean, you know, who knows what life will bring us. It's very unpredictable. First of all, your thoughts on not getting Kovalchuk?
I'm okay with it, and I think most Bruins fans are, and certainly I think the Bruins live with it. You know, if they could have gotten him for a couple of years at $6 million a year, I think at 35 years old, having not played in the NHL for 5 years, you know, having peaced out on the New Jersey Devils on his last contract in the NHL and basically just left them and taken all of his toys and gone back to Russia, you know, there's an unreliability there. There's some questions there, and the age thing is certainly part of it, too. So, you know, you were taking him on with some risks, even at a couple of years. Granted, very good offensive player, and I still feel like he's probably going to score 25, 30 goals next year. But once the L.A. Kings were willing to go 3 years, 6.25 a year, basically give him the same contract that Patrick Marleau got from the from the Toronto Maple Leafs, leaving the San Jose Sharks. I think at that point, you weren't going to go to 3 years if you're the Bruins. I think it's the right move not to go to 3 years, and you kind of move on. So it was disappointing, and I think it's definitely a player they were getting excited about. But once the terms reach that level for an older player, I think you're okay with it not landing in your favor. And, you know, from a wider perspective, and you played the sound from Don Sweeney, I mean, as far as NHL draft weekend goes, they certainly didn't hurt their team, but they didn't get any better, and it was kind of a dud. You know, they didn't sign Kovalchuk. They weren't really that involved in the Noah Hanifin Lindholm trade where the Carolina Panthers or Hurricanes players went to the Calgary Flames. They didn't re-sign Anton Hudobin, but it looks like he might get the free agency. They didn't have a first-round pick, so... You know, there was not a lot happening for the Bruins at NHL draft weekend.
Okay, well then let's get to what a lot of people are speculating might be happening because of the... I mean, this is kind of the calm before the storm if you're a lot of optimistic Bruins fans, and that is the fact that John Tavares, according to a report last night, has listed the Bruins as one of the teams that he'd be interested in. What do you think the chances are? And also, can you kind of break down, because how much can the Isles offer more money than anybody else, or is it kind of all things equal? With a contract that long, I don't know the specifics of how that works regarding a guy already being on a team, kind of like a NHL's version of the bird rights, if you will.
Right, yeah. No, the team that retains a player, like the Islanders can offer John Tavares, they can offer him a better deal, but in terms of term, they can offer him 8 years where every free agent team can only offer him seven.
Okay.
So, you know, he can get a better deal from the Islanders in terms of another year added on to whatever contract he's going to sign versus if it was going to be the Bruins or the San Jose Sharks or anybody else. So, you know, they have a little bit of an advantage. The word is that they already gave him an offer that was $11 million a year for the 8 years, I believe. So, you know, that's kind of the baseline and the starting point that I think every other team is at least going to have to match, if not probably surpass in order to get him. So you're talking probably $11 or $12 million a year on a long-term contract to get a guy like Tavares. I have not gotten confirmation that the Bruins are going to meet with him, but you know, everybody that I've talked to has included the Bruins in there, and among San Jose Sharks, you know, among the Islanders, obviously. It sounds like both the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to be in there as well. And when I asked Don Sweeney about it at the draft on Saturday, you know, he didn't confirm it, obviously, and they didn't know at that point whether they were going to be involved. I think Tavares' camp was still notifying NHL teams and compiling their own list. But it was very clear the Bruins had interest and were certainly going to push for a meeting and wanted to potentially sign him. And it's real interesting. You know, obviously, he's a franchise-type player. He's a difference maker. He's going to come in and be your 1-1A center. But, you know, they're going to have to make some moves and clear some space. They do have $12 million in cap space, but they've got other moves they have to make. So I think if you do somehow sign a John Tavares, you're going to have to trade David Krejci potentially, or maybe David Backes. You're going to have to make some moves with your NHL roster now to clear space in order to bring him in. But I think there's no question the Bruins are very interested and they want to talk to Tavares. And it's a credit to the Bruins that they're going to get a seat at the table if they do.
All right. Now, is it possible to trade Krejci? Is it possible to trade Backes?
Yeah, good question. Because I keep seeing their names getting thrown out there, and I'm like, is there anybody who wants to buy on that?
I think it would probably be easier to trade Krejci than Backes because Krejci is younger, and I think Krejci is still, you know, close to a number one center, close enough that other teams that don't have a number one center would be interested in him. But I think they're going to have to take on money, significant money, if they're going to trade either one of them. And I don't think they're going to get much back in return. You know, there's not a lot of value out there for players that are on the wrong side of 30 that are making, you know, big money dollars and, you know, who are starting to break down a little bit and certainly aren't the players that they were in their 20s. So I think it's doable, and certainly they'll find a way to get it done, I think, if they have to. If they survive, assign Tavares, they'll figure out a way, whether it's Backes, whether it's Krejci. I mean, it could come to a point where if you can't move those guys, you might have to move somebody that you don't necessarily want to move. Like, and this is why you've heard Tory Krug out there as well, to clear cap space in order to make something like that happen. But I think what you're looking at right now is, and it's a little bit of a long shot for the Bruins to get him, but if they were to get him, I think you're going to start to really hear Backes, Krejci's names heating up in the trade talks.
So what's the deal with Anton Hudobin? Why are they not re-signing him? Because, I mean, is he going to get a ridiculous amount of money somewhere else? They're just not willing to match it?
Well, I think he wants to see what's out there. I mean, he wants to see there are other teams out there that are going to need goaltending help and potentially maybe give him a shot towards a number one job. You know, he may be able to parlay the season that he had into a situation where at least he could compete for the number one job. He knows that's not going to be the case in Boston. So I think it makes sense to at least go out there and see what's out there. I think he wanted a little bit more money to sign before July 1st than the Bruins were going to be comfortable giving to a backup goaltender. You know, if he settled for something in like the $1.5 million per year range for a couple of years, I think the Bruins would be okay with that, and it would be a little bit of a raise from what he made the last few years. It would give him a multi-year deal, give him some security, and he'd be able to continue to play, you know, 25 games a year plus being Tuukka Rask's backup because they need a backup that's going to play a lot. But if he has any notions whatsoever about competing for a number one job and potentially getting a little bit more money to do it, he's going to have to wait until free agency and start talking to teams. So the door, I don't think, is completely shut on Hudobin. I think it depends on what he finds out there when he gets to free agency and maybe he comes back to the Bruins. And, you know, hopefully that happens because he's the perfect answer for their backup spot. If he goes somewhere else, you start talking about, like, maybe old friend Chad Johnson, who was a backup here. You can talk to him. You know, Connor Hutton, I think, is going to be a premier name out there as a backup, but I don't think you want to overpay for a backup goalie if you're the Bruins. You want to find somebody that you're going to be comfortable with that's going to come in for low dollars.
Joe, I read a lot about the Bruins' third-round draft pick from last weekend. Is he the big story because, as you said, there wasn't a lot to write about, or is there actually a story behind this kid?
No, I think there's a story behind him because he was supposed to go late first, early second round. He was high up on the rankings, and he dropped into the Bruins' lap in the third round. And they got really good they got really good talent there. You know, extremely fast, very skilled, has been productive, was playing in the elite league in the Czech as an 18-year-old, and you know, a likable kid too. When we talked to him, remember, he you know, English is obviously his second language, and you know, one of the questions he got was what do your parents do, and it was basically
a love child of Yamir Yager?
I don't believe so. I think the T-Tops had their the roof on that day, so he was not out clubbing and curling for women. But he, you know, what he said was his parents are going to go out drinking, because he thought the question was, what are your parents going to do tonight after you get drafted? And he starts talking about his parents going out for beers afterwards. So he's a likable kid, very friendly, a lot of personality, and I think he's going to be fun, and I think Bruins fans are going to like him.
All right, well, there you go. Joe Haggerty doing his due diligence, following everything that's going around with the Bruins. We do appreciate it.
You got it, Freddie. See ya.
All right, see you later.
I just wonder if he enjoyed the comedy stylings that they had at the NHL Awards.
We have something special for you guys tonight.
That's right, boys.
Which, by the way,
people got so defensive about that.
Oh, about that skit?
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. It's like, because people are like, oh, yeah, there's this funny comedy group. There's two guys who talk about hockey. They're YouTube sensations. And I clicked on the link that somebody sent me, which I'm assuming was one of the more popular ones if it was sent to me. It had 7,000 views.
Yeah. just because, like, we don't know what they do doesn't make them entertaining
or popular. I mean, even that. I mean, there's some people's humor I don't get, but don't sell me that these guys are like this huge sensation when I click on a link and they have 7,000 views on YouTube.
Well, Tom Brady, what do you think about the whole thing?
Well, I think Tom Brady has got something to say, and that is probably... By the way, did you see Dougie Hamilton was traded again?
Yeah, and there's something really right about him winding up in Carolina after all this time. It just seems like this is what was supposed to happen.
Well, all I'm hearing is just that he is the worst teammate. Like, I guess, like, locker room issue. And we kind of
heard
a little bit about that here,
place,
too.
One place, it's one thing. But, I mean, you hear the exact same things you heard here when he left that happened in Calgary. The exact same thing. Like, everyone would go out for beer, and Hamilton would, like, stay in his hotel room and watch television. You know, stuff like that. And it's just weird, weird nonsense about him.
All right, so we will have the headlines.
You're listening to Kutcher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Sixers pick is in, but Jesse, why don't you come in here? Terry, I want you to write down who you think the Celtics are going to be taking at 27, and let's see if you have
a secret. Like, we won't look. Like, we'll just.
Can I get some options?
Yes. Okay, here you go. Oh,
you've got the list.
Here's the list. Here are the list of the guys. If they're not crossed out, they're still available. That's their position.
I'm going to do this secret.
You're going to call Danny Ainge?
Yeah, and then...
And then there
he
was the face.
Really dumb.
Hilarity ensued.
I wonder if that... Because I mean, hearing Danny Ainge afterwards, and there was a sports debate on Friday, because Michael Hurley thought that was set up, and the whole thing was faked. And then I'm like... Why would Danny Ainge agree to do something for Bleacher Report with like 2 minutes before he has to pick? And it did, to me, it also said something about Danny Ainge as a GM that even with 2 minutes to go, he would still pick up a call from Terry Rozier.
I'll tell you why. One reason, he goes, Danny, I just broke my leg. Or Danny, like, you know, there's a reason that you take the call. I don't think it's to settle his nerves on who you're about to take.
You see, I thought it was more to settle his nerves that Terry Rozier's name has been thrown around a lot in the press lately about someone who might get traded in order to move one way or the other.
I'm not answering that call.
Ainge did so, and now he might never do it again because, you know, you saw him at the press conference. You know, Danny Ainge is one thing. It doesn't seem like he's going to go along with a bit.
No, I agree with you, but I mean, I think a perfectly plausible explanation for answering that call is if he goes, I just ripped up my knee, and then you go, oh.
Yeah.
And then you, because they have a big board. I mean, they can make decisions on the fly.
So he calls and tells him, I ripped up my knee literally seconds before they have to make the pick. He's like, change everything.
Better to find out before than after.
Sure.
Minutes. And it's not ridiculous because teams, as you know, group players and ranked players. And the difference at that part of the draft is not that dramatic.
Sure, and they have a group of like five or six guys they're choosing. I'm sure some of which were guards.
Right.
I'm sure that they had another, okay, we can't take Bob Williams, but here are three other guys we can take.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's not like they're married to one guy. I mean, they have to be able to adjust. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm not saying that they would have changed the pick. I don't know. I mean, that pick is weird. I mean, you hear someone go crazy, people go crazy about how great it is.
Well, that was the thing. I mean, you know, people were calling it, and Wojnarowski was even saying it, they thought it could be the steal of the first
right.
round.
And then you hear people say he's incapable of playing offense.
Well, bat down at that level, you take what you can guess.
Sure.
20, no, I mean, it's all even from 20 to 40 anyway.
But right. Fred, I know you were gone on Friday, but did you hear what happened with the 11 o'clock press conference they were supposed to have?
Yeah, he didn't call in.
Yeah, so what happens? No, so here's what, according to, if you believe everyone involved with this entire thing, is that they had told Robert Williams that the press conference was going to be at 11 a.m., and I guess that he didn't have the whole time zone thing done, so his phone was ringing at what is 10 a.m. Dallas yeah. time, and like his sister, I think, woke him up and was like, hey, your phone is ringing.
But the key is, this is after he skipped out on the conference call the previous evening,
yeah,
where he said he ran over to his sister's house to get some sleep because it had been such a long day.
It isn't a flaw of his motivation.
Yeah,
yes,
on and
yes,
off.
It is.
Well, here's the thing, Fred, is that they said that there were issues, intentions and motivation on and off the court, and all that I had heard about was on the court stuff. I mean, you can actually, there's video that shows you that there's some plays that he would just take off.
Yes,
and you were thinking, okay, well, maybe Brad Stevens can fix this, whatever, but I kept asking all the people we had on Friday. We had A. Sherrod. We had Sean Grant. I'm like,
no, wasn't A. Sherrod?
Oh yeah, that's right. It was Kyle Draper.
Who I pulled was a Danny Ainge. By Danny Ainge for A. Sherrod while right. he was on the air.
So, but the question was, what have you heard about off the court? Like, what kind of reports are out there that we should be concerned about? And no one knew. And maybe now we're kind of getting a little taste of maybe not the most responsible person in the world. But what was great
is
was
he
that,
the guy who said he wanted money? Like, they said, like, why did you come out? And he's like, money?
No, I don't think that was him.
Okay.
I don't think, listen, I could be wrong, but I haven't heard anything about that. But I do know that once they finally, after like 11:15, like, listen, we got him. It was just a miscommunication. We got the time zones wrong. We are going to have a blow you out of the water press conference at noon. Here we go. It's ready to go. And this is how it sounded.
Can you talk about just what that night was like for you last night? And were you surprised that you fell to where you were ultimately drafted by the Boston?
Well, it's nice that they got Mushmouth from Fat Albert on the phone.
First of all, the Predator is apparently hiding behind him with that sound. Second of all, $1 million says he's still lying in bed. Like, that's a man lying down with the phone pushed up against his cheek while he's trying to speak.
Yeah, they probably woke him up and said, do you remember that you have to...
Oh, yeah. And I it was great trying to read quotes from the press. No one could get a quote. No one could understand the thing he was saying.
It was just it was like the teacher from Peanuts. It was ampersand and exclamation point.
You know, at some point, you just got to treat the interview like we do sometimes with Danny Ainge. You just say, Danny... Dude, your phone's awful. We got to call you back in a different line. And you just try it all over again. Although with him, they've already tried, you know, getting a hold of the guy, and they ended up not being able to do so in the first place. So maybe it just wasn't worth it. Yes, what were you saying, sir? Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. So you've got that going now. And on top of that, there was a report that came out this weekend involving Kawhi Leonard. And once again, you're going to hear a bunch of stuff. But this one makes sense to me. So this is from Sam Amick from USA Today. Kind of a respectable source. And he said that according to his sources, that San Antonio said there is no way in hell they are going to trade Kawhi Leonard to a Western Conference team. They said that the fellow West teams have been told, in essence, to get lost, none more so than the Lakers. As it stands, the Spurs...
Get lost?
Well, get lost is one
Steve
tough
Buford
guy talk.
Called up Magic Johnson, get lost, well, scram!
Once they saw that LiAngelo wasn't part of the package, they said, I can't send him
okay,
over there.
Okay, well, the ball situation is fantastic.
Which we'll get to. Yeah.
Which we'll get to. So they're saying that the Spurs are determined to either fix the situation, which isn't going to happen. I mean, Kawhi wants out. Like, Kawhi is pissed. And this has been something that's going on. I mean, this has been festering for almost an entire year now.
Yeah.
He's been pissed at the organization. You're not going to fix this. So they said that, according to reports, they're determined to trade him to an Eastern Conference team. And now the 76ers are apparently trying to stockpile something that they can't say no to in order to get him.
Well, I mean, that was the story right from the get-go. I mean, the Sixers were going to target Kawhi Leonard, so I'm not surprised by this. I mean, it's not like, oh, we have a chance. No, the Sixers have thought they were in on it right from the start. So they could probably serve up a wide variety of people to trade to San Antonio. And we were reading during the draft, Markelle Fultz was available on Thursday night. I mean, the Sixers apparently wanted to package their two first-round picks and Fultz and hop into the top five. It didn't happen, and it's real tough to trade a guy who has had a lot of trouble his first year as a pro. But you never now, you know, maybe Fultz is part of a pack. I mean, the Sixers have a lot of young guys they can trade.
They're going to get rid, you know, they're going to get rid of Fultz for pennies on the dollar. And here's why: is that after the what's the GM who just got in trouble for doing? Ended up getting Colangelo. Is that
his name?
Okay.
Yes.
After he just got dismissed, you know that everyone else who's remaining was saying, by the way, it was Colangelo's idea to draft Markelle Fultz first, not ours. So imagine if you're Markelle Fultz and you're still with the organization. And they're saying, hey, everybody here didn't want you, all right? We wanted someone else other than you. That is a relationship that I don't know if you can heal that. So I guarantee you,
swap one problem for another.
They're going to try to get rid of him, and they're not going to get much value because that whole article came out even this weekend on top of the one that came out a couple months ago about him completely getting the yips and not being able to shoot anymore.
Sure, but that to me would make me more apt to want him. Because if it was a shoulder injury that you couldn't get out of.
If it's just the yips, theoretically you could fix it. It's more than something permanently wrong with the shoulder.
And there's plenty of players who've gotten over that. And if you believe in his skill set, he could get over it. Now, I'm not trading what I would have.
He did play at the end of the season. He got a triple-double against a bunch of D-League guys at the end of the season for Philadelphia in a game that didn't matter. And he didn't play in the playoffs at all. But theoretically, he could have if called upon. So, right. I mean, that's different than before.
Let's get to this LaVar Ball stuff. Plus, at 8 o'clock, Tom Arnold and Roseanne are weird people.
Just creating some of the weird... Tom Arnold had one of the strangest news interviews that I've seen, and that's saying a lot.
I'm just going to say, you have to go away to do
Tom
that.
Tom Arnold is on a different planet right now.
Oh, boy.
So he's all of a sudden become, I'm like really serious and I'm out for blood and I'm going to take down the president. Like, and
he talks about how he has this video of the president.
Oh, yeah, but you should hear this interview. This is a man that's either scared for his life or is on drugs or something. But it was one of the more awkward moments of television, and it involved Tom Arnold over the weekend.
All right, look forward to hearing that. We will return.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. On Friday, John Wallach, very kind, sent a text to me asking if indeed my team won the city championship. Unfortunately, no. My son, a brave, valiant effort. 3 2/3 innings pitched. The kids just, they'd reached the sun.
Yeah,
with the Newton Southeast Little League title.
I think I would like to let Dan know, just to make sure that things are fair. Dan actually told John Wallach to text you and to check on it.
When I walked into the studio that morning, I said, John, did you hear from Fred? How about the game last night? Did it go well? And you went, huh?
No, not what I said.
So any goodwill, either that or you ignored me completely.
That's a possibility. That's a possibility. So but I did said, not go,
I planted
huh?
I planted the seed in your head.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Well, then screw you, John.
Yeah. Any good? Take away the good word you just gave him.
I sent a nice thing. I said, that's very thoughtful of you. I sent him a nice text. I said, it's very thoughtful of you. Thank you for asking.
Honest to God, don't remember Dan saying that at all. At all. Now, I wouldn't put it by me to inadvertently ignore what Dan had said.
Right.
But I do not remember Dan saying
that. I remember it being a 15-minute long conversation on the air, John. Okay. So you can play that however you want to do it.
I'm glad you guys broke it down.
But
now, speaking about oversharing, if we won that big-ass trophy, oh, that would have been on the gram right away.
Oh, yeah. Well, you already had a picture of you and the smaller trophy. For the previous win, correct? Right. So why not?
The City Series is basically an exhibition game, please. Pish-posh. I don't care about that. And finally, I was getting nice emails from PETA. It was a lot of fun.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. You got emails from PETA.
Oh, man.
If you're just joining us, and then this is it, because I have gotten a lot of emails, and some of them from PETA. But people seem to be fascinated by this. On Thursday... When I was leaving the house, I heard a raccoon. And then I looked and I saw it in there. And so I had no idea what you're supposed to do because I'm not kicking the thing over. And now with video evidence of people who have done that,
yep.
Kicked it over and then they come at you like, wild. They throw fits and come at you with all teeth and claws.
They do that after they free them, or is it when they try to hit them with a rake?
I think that when you free... Okay, I'll put it to you this way. I guess there were two of them at the end.
Okay.
But my theory was, if I release them and they turn to me and attack me, I got nothing. But I thought that, and what do I know? I'm not in the wildlife. So what I thought you do is, when they're trapped in the big can, you know, like the city can,
yeah,
you got them there, and you bludgeon them to death, is what I thought. Why not? You know, you bludgeon them to death. They carry disease. I don't want them screwing with my cat or my dog. And it just so, and then everyone had different theories on what you're supposed to do. You're not allowed to poison them. You're not allowed to drown them, which I never would have done in a million years anyway. That just seems incredibly cruel.
Right.
I'm drowning you alive. Like, you're perfectly conscious, and I'm just going to drown you. But I wasn't, so I didn't know what to do. But suffice it to say, PETA, what happened is two police officers were listening to the show, and they came over, and they freed the raccoon. But if you don't believe me on the danger of freeing a raccoon, the first officer waited for another officer to come in case those things went wild.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like a situation where you put on any kind of hockey equipment that you have.
Right.
And just you cover yourself.
If two cops, like with guns and everything else... That, you know, put it that, I mean, I know it's Newton, but they get in precarious situations and they have to, you know, do things that the normal person would not want to have to do.
Sure.
If two of them are required for the raccoons, then I was not out of my mind. And they were like, you know what, next time bludgeon them. No, I'm just kidding. Dave, go ahead.
Hey, Fred. So I've had a similar experience with raccoons. We have them in our yard. Practically every week, right before you turn out the garbage on Thursday, because I'm from Newton as well. And there was one time where I was actually just walking around the neighborhood, and I hear a raccoon just rummaging around in someone's garbage, but it was very empty, and I don't think it could get out. And I didn't want to tip over the stranger's garbage can, so what did I do? And this is during the day, mind you. I took a big-ass stick, put the stick in the garbage can, so the raccoon could grab onto it. It grabs on. I carefully lift out the raccoon and drop it on the ground, and it just walks away. So I think, like, daytime-wise, I don't think a raccoon's going to, you know, jump you if you're just trying to, you know, help it out, because I felt no danger.
Maybe you had, like, the Gandhi of raccoons.
Right. I don't know, man. It was really weird. Left it on the ground, and it went up a tree, and... went on its way.
Well, and you had the Gary Busey of raccoons.
Yeah.
Just like background crazy.
So anyway, suffice it to say, and PETA, you'll be nice to know that the animals are now free and going about their business of giving people whatever disease they hold, gonorrhea or whatever they got in there.
So gonorrhea disease carrying raccoons.
Yeah. You got to be careful.
Very rare. You don't see them
often.
Yeah,
they'll get that gonorrhea on you, and then you got nowhere to go. You know, they got that, what's the thing that makes your leprosy?
Black plague.
Yeah, they get you with that leprosy.
They could. Raccoons are known for that.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, so I'm interested in hearing this. I don't know what's going on, but Tom Arnold has said that he has a video of the president that he could release. I know that. I have not heard this audio.
Okay.
But I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Okay, so Tom Arnold had one of the more ridiculous, strangest, most uncomfortable interviews that I've seen on a news network in a long time. And he looks like his eyes are kind of red. Either he's been up all night or there's... I don't know what kind of state he's in, but I'll let you judge for himself.
He had a big coke problem for several years.
Well, I'll let you judge for yourself, but this was strange television at its best.
All right, I look very much to hearing about it.